good to be a church, ain't it?
Amen.
I don't know how I lived before the Lord, knowing how good I have it now. If we went home right now and never read another text this evening, we already experienced more than the Lord had to give us. With saving Brian Gendry and adding him to the church, and Becca and Bobby and his mom, and our cup is overfilling today. Tonight, the reaping of missions. Turn the Bible to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Tonight, again like last week, we won't be stationary in a text. We'll kind of be moving through the book of Acts, just trying to capture what is happening here. It's hard to capture the reaping just in one text. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what else can we say but thank you?
Amen.
What else can we say? You've been so good to us today. What am I without you? Nothing. What do I want to be? Nothing without you. Lord, bless this night. Open our hearts to receive your word. Thank you for holding true to your promises. I thank you. Bless this moment here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There's an off view today of what the idea of reaping is. The reaping of missions, as we see in the New Testament, in the New Testament church, is not paralleled with society today. The reaping of the New Testament church is not listed in the book of Acts as, and today, this amount of people showed up at the synagogue. It's not listed that we packed out the church at the house of this person. It's not listed that we packed out the church here. It's not that we filled the pews. It's not that we held an event to bring people specifically to church. How we know the reaping of missions was happening in the book of Acts is that souls were being saved. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, does it not, at the day of Pentecost, that thousands of souls were saved. And as we move through the book of Acts, the reaping continues to happen. It wasn't that numbers showed up in the pew. It's not how many people were attending the church. 40 people being added to the church in the day is nothing compared to one soul being saved in the day.
Amen.
I'd rather have one real member than 40 seats filled in the pew. And that's what's so beautiful about the book of Acts, is that it makes it clear that the reaping of missions is nothing less than souls being saved, churches being started, and people being added to the church. They began to reap. Like the Lord said in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers were few. There was a great harvest happening. This is something that's still true today. There was a great harvest. How do we know this? Because we are still here.
Amen.
When we're not here, then we can talk about there not being a harvest here.
Right.
The reaping of missions. Reaping is one of the favorite times in our life, right? It doesn't matter how you break it down. It's after you plant a big, huge garden, all the labor and all the work and all the time you dedicated to the garden was not that fun. But the reaping time where you get to enjoy the fruits of your labor, well, that's pretty joyous to us, right? Yeah. Many people who invest into their 401k or invest into their retirement, looking forward to this day, and then that day when they finally get to enjoy their retirement. It is a joyous time to them. This is the reaping of the labor that they've put in.
Amen.
Many of us probably have planted a few gardens that we feel did not give us a just reward. Or that we thought, man, that was a lot of work just for these two tomatoes. Back-breaking work. Tim said, amen. A famous painter said this in London when it was being questioned by a news host. They asked him, they said, why aren't you able to get out all of the paintings that these other artists are putting out? Why are you taking such back-breaking, painstaking time for each of these paintings? Don't you know that you're not going to be as successful, you're not going to be as well known because you're not being able to get into all the houses? Why can't you do it as fast as others? Why can't you produce numbers as fast as others? And the painter said this, because I am painting for eternity. He was painting for eternity. And you know, as we round this series on missions, we are coming to an end. One more sermon that goes hand in hand with this. But what I am hoping to show us, and what I have learned in myself, and what I am seeing, is that what we're doing in missions, the missions of the Witten Place Baptist Church, is not about turning out numbers. It has eternal weight.
Amen.
It has eternal weight before God. All the labor, all the people in the pew would be in vain if they were not saved. So this time, tonight, this sermon is on reaping. Next week, we'll cover the reward. And I hope that as we have arrived here, that we can see our daily lives as we go into the workforce, as we take our families, as we are with our families, as we are with our children, our friends, our neighborhood, as we encounter this world, we are truly painting a portrait of who we are. When we leave this world, not only one day will we stand before God, which we'll talk about next week, but we will also leave a portrait of our lives and how we will be remembered when we are gone.
Amen.
And thinking about reaping of missions, I thought back to the hot days that I spent working at the greenhouse. I can remember this, that one day we were stuck planting lettuce, greenhouse after greenhouse of lettuce. And if it sounds terrible, it was terrible. And it was so hot. But you know, after we got done planting each half of the greenhouse, you know what my boss would do? He would come and water. We would plant, and he would water. You know why my boss would come back and after he was done watering, he'd come back and he'd water again. You know why? He was expecting a harvest. He was expecting a reaping. No one plants a garden and then just walks away saying, hey, if it grows, it grows. No big deal. No one says no biggie and walks away. If it fails, we'll just try again next year. No, that's what Paul was trying to get across and write in 1 Corinthians, right? 3:6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. There was follow-up to the planting that was happening. There was follow-up there. Paul was planting, but there was still concern for the seed after it was planted.
Right.
And we already know, well, that's when Apollos, he was following up. Sowing and reaping is a truth that goes hand in hand. Be not deceived, Galatians 6:7-9 says, right? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We have to be faithful to that which we are called. I know myself, oftentimes, when I'm trying to preach the gospel, you know, I get so excited that I was just able to preach to them. But You know, one thing we should do is this. We should never walk away from preaching the gospel with this thought process in mind. That I have done my job and that their problems is not my problems. I've done my part and I've walked away. This is not what Paul is saying when I planted and Apollos watered. When we walk away from someone planting the seed, specifically even in this neighborhood, where we're continuously going out and meeting the same people repetitively when we're door knocking, and we're going there, we should have a heart for these people. If we see somebody who lives in a house and they tell us a specific problem that they're going through, we should be concerned. Amen. We should take that home. We should pray about it. We should think about it and say, God, you've given me the ability to plant this seed. Please show me how I can reach them in this situation and water the seed that you've given me the ability to plant. Sometimes we have to go back and pray. God, that was an epic failure. They told me to get out of their yard. God, show me how I can reach them. Break my heart so that I can reach them. You know, if we was to walk up, I can remember that one time on all the lettuce that we had there, that the bugs were starting to eat up the leaves. My boss didn't say, hey, you know what? No big deal. The leaves are getting tore up. No, he went and bought a pesticide. For those who don't like pesticides, I'm sure it was probably organic, right? But he went and took a pesticide and he treated the plants. Why? Because he cared about what was planted. He cared about it. He had concern for it. He wanted it to grow. He wanted to reap the harvest that he planted. That was his plan. If we take one plant that we planted, and the weeds come up and start to strangle it, do we say, oh, well, you know, I guess I'm not going to reap because the weeds are strangling out the plant that I planted? No, that's not what we do. What do? We pull the weeds. I know Brother Myers tells the story. All this tangent has a place to go, by the way. Brother Myers tells the story, right, of the bush or tree in his front yard, right, and it was eaten up at the roots, or in his neighborhood. What's your neighbor calls him? Chemical Ali, I think is what he said, from all the chemicals he gassed out treating his plants. And but the whole point is this, is that we take care of that which we plant, right, on the physical level. My point is this, is showing the gospel is more than I preach something to someone and now I walk away. It deserves the utmost care and respect. Amen. It is something that can spring forth and someone can be saved right away. It is something that can take time. You know, I can remember the first time that we met Brian. Well, I think it was Camp Chautauqua. Was 15, 18 years ago. Here he is today, saved.
Amen.
The seed was watered, but it was planted 15 or 18 years ago. God gave the increase.
Amen.
We reaped today, and we did not faint along the way.
Amen.
Lord. Remember this. When we're dealing with these people in this neighborhood, or we're dealing with people in our jobs, who are we dealing with? We are dealing with the lost.
Right.
We're dealing with the lost. Remember what happened in Acts 7:51 with Stephen, right? He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Now, for clarification, before we go any further, I used this verse one time, and then it was proposed to me afterwards that these people was resisting the Holy Spirit and according to salvation. So I'm going to clarify this before I move on. That is not what this text is referring to. We believe in a truth called irresistible grace, meaning us prior to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Christ, as Ephesians 2:21 says, right? Or to Ephesians 2:1, that and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, and was only made alive by the quickening of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One cannot be made alive by his own decision. You know why? Because he is dead. One who is dead does not need a prescription from the pharmacy. You know why? Because he is dead. A man who is at the bottom of the ocean does not need a life preserver. Do you know why? Because he is
dead.
Right.
You know what they need? They need to be made alive.
Amen.
When we were dead, we lacked the ability to turn to God because we were dead in our sins. When he comes to us in this effectual call, we experience irresistible grace and we are made alive in him.
Amen.
We see ourselves for who we are and repent of our sins and place our faith in him. Salvation is all his work, yet it is irresistible. Now here, Stephen says, they resist the Holy Spirit as their fathers did, so do they. This pertains that Stephen's saying that you guys are resisting the Holy Spirit. They're resisting the wonderful works of God. They're resisting the apostles. They're resisting the miracles. They're resisting all the different things that was happening as the church was becoming developed. This was not resisting the operation of grace that happens in one's heart. Today, in this day and age, though, it's not much different, though. Meaning that while we sow, we are sowing to a generation, to a group of people who resist the workings of God. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about what God has done in your life. They don't want to hear how God just saved Brian. They don't want to hear about the great things that God has done. They don't want to hear these things. They resist that good news. And guess what? We should expect that they resist it. This resistance should be expected. Why? Because as he says here in 7, Acts chapter 7, their hearts were uncircumcised to God. Right? But us as believers should be sensitive to the workings of God. And we should be sensitive to what's going on as we are out sowing. Brother Head tells the story of while he was out soul winning that he met a man who was working on his car. And in efforts to reach this man, he begins to help him work on his car and ends up reaching him for the gospel. Being sensitive in this sowing is important. We be sensitive to what is happening. Now, this does not mean that, hey, you know what? I really want to reach my brother, and the only place he goes to is the bar, so I'm going to go hang out with him there to reach him. That is not it. But what it does mean is this, is that when we're in this sowing process, we should do all that we can do. We should be able to humble ourselves to do things that maybe are not comfortable to us, to our nature, things that we don't like, that are not sin, to reach others for Christ.
Amen.
There was places in the garden and places in the greenhouse that just seemed like would never till up right. It didn't matter how many times we tilled these areas up. You had areas where the dirt was really fine, and you had areas where they were really lumpy, really big clumps of dirt. Just because those areas was not as fine and not as easy to sow into did not mean that we did not sow there. We did sow there. But what it did mean is that we took extra steps in the sowing process to ensure and to give the seed the opportunity to germinate. We would, at times, hey, you know, we would mix the topsoil in there, or maybe at times when we would take the plant, we would plant, and we would take topsoil and put it around the plant as we put it in the ground to give it an opportunity to grow. Rich soil is always easier to plant in, right? But just because the soil is not rich, and the soil does not look prosperous to plant, does not mean it should hinder our planting. We should be praying and asking God to show us how to reach them.
Amen.
With the gospel. And how much we followed up in our care for these people, and how much when we get into this neighborhood, we should care and how much we follow up. This is what we are called to do. Preach the gospel, sow the gospel, follow up, sow the gospel, preach the gospel. Listen, this is, even when people come here today, this is why we have them fill out visitor's cards, do we not? We don't want it to end here. We want the opportunity to follow up and preach the gospel to them again.
Amen.
So the early church
church did this. So the early church, not visitor cards, but so the early church sowed and planted and watered, and souls were saved. And they prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit, because that is what we need as we're sowing the gospel. Amen. Spurgeon once said this: without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without wind, or chariots without steeds. Like branches without sap, we are withered. Like coals without fire, we are like an offering without sacrificial flame. We are unaccepted. Listen, we've learned today that we will reap if we faint not.
Amen.
Many have stopped sowing, though, due to the discouragement over the harvest. In truth, they have stopped soul winning, and they have resigned that God's promises are not true, or that God's promises are not rewarding fast enough. It is not worth the investment, and this is why I have not sown one. They shall in due time reap also, because of what they are sowing. We are promised a harvest, beloved. Most soul winners stop winning because they have lost the faith that the winning, that the soul winning, that this planting the seeds is going to be fruitful. The reaping, yes, is encouraging, but we are not in control of the reaping. That is of God. We are just called to plant the seed. But oftentimes, like Hosea 10:12 says, the areas of our heart have become hardened, right? And that's why he challenged Israel. And so we're challenged today that many times, and even for myself, what soul winning becomes discouraging. Because we go door knocking. We've been to the houses in this community time after time, and it's still the same. Matter of fact, still some of the same people are still saying, get off my porch. It is discouraging, right? And we become hardened to it. Well, I'm not going there this week. It's the same thing every week. It's the same thing. I'm not going to that house. I'm not going there. To be honest with you, I did that to Daniel Pearson about 3 weeks ago. We was going up a street in the neighborhood. I said, hey, you get that house, I'll get this house. I already knew what was going to happen. He came back and said, you did it on purpose. but it's discouraging at times. Don't we, we get to the point where our heart becomes hardened for trying to reach people for Christ. And it's not where we should be. And if we really expect to reap in missions, we must be softened. We must never allow the hardness of our heart to build up. We must always be sensitive to the working of the Spirit, believing that today may be the day that we may have a breakthrough and get to plant the seed.
Amen.
How many pews would be filled here today at the Witten Place Baptist Church if everyone you sowed a seed into this year was saved? How many? Would we fill a pew? Would we even see one? Would we even know one? How many people would come to the saving knowledge of Christ if all the salvation, all the seeds you planted this year came to fruition and the Holy Spirit worked? In the book of Acts, the word believed was mentioned some 30 times. Some believed and was saved, and some believed not and was filled with anger. But yet we see the apostles and the disciples preached on and believed that there was a coming harvest for missions that God, for this mission that God has given them. Every time you hear the word, they believe. You know what was happening before that? Someone was sowing a seed. Someone was sowing the seed. The seed was being planted. Now, does that mean that the harvest always comes up right away? No. But it does mean that we can take faith and believe that when a seed is planted, that God, if He so chooses, will work. I know for myself, I was here 23 years. I heard the gospel every week. I know Brother Green and Brother Head paid visits to my house, had me jump in the fence, run into my mom's house when I seen them coming. They came to me. They sowed the seed. But let me tell you this. December 28, 2008, at 10:30 at night, when I was all alone, the Holy Spirit moved
And for the first time in my life, I realized I was lost.
Yeah.
No one was there.
Praise God.
It was the Holy Ghost moving on a seed that was planted.
Amen.
The harvest came. It may be 20 years later, but the harvest came. Oh, that we would not treat the Lord's work the way we treat a garden. Dissatisfied when we do not get immediate results and leave it to the weeds to take over. That we believe that God gives the increase and we do not know when the growth will be given, but we trust that growth will be given. I feel that many times that we have not, the reason we have not reaped is because of our own hearts and the lack of faith that God will work or that He can. Labored so hard, yet no fruit. Labored so hard, yet it seems that souls are not being saved. Ask ourselves today, why are we not reaping? Is it because we simply are not sowing? Have we lost faith? Can He not do it? Can He not save souls? Oh, indeed, the Lord can do it, and we shall reap if we faith not. So in the book of Acts, the reaping came, and some believed, and some believed not. A quick overview in Acts. Acts 2:44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Acts 8:12. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8:13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Acts 13:12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Acts 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. Acts 17:4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief of women, not a few. Acts 17:12. Therefore many of them believed, also honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Acts 17:34. Howbeit certain men claim unto him, and believing among them, which was Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Acts 18:8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Acts 28:24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. I just read half of the accounts in the book of Acts. The gospel was being sowed, and the harvest was coming in. People believed, the disciples believed, the apostles believed, and they was preaching it with boldness in the houses and all the places. There was not a place where they was muzzled. There was not a place where there was silence. There was not a risk that came upon them. There was not any situation that would muzzle them from preaching the gospel, and souls was being saved everywhere they went, from the prison cell to the kingdom hall.
Amen.
God was working. The reaping for the sowing, through the entire book of Acts, we see God mightily working, do we not? We say, well, you know, I don't think that I can be a preacher like Paul and a preacher like Peter. God was mightily using these two men to do great things for him. Well, could we all not just be an Andrew then? Right? We read about Peter and we're excited about Peter. We say, wow, Peter is doing mighty things. And in the first 13 chapters of Acts, Peter is leading all kinds of people to Christ. And we don't read nothing else outside of the first book, Acts chapter 1, we read about Peter. After that, or Andrew, we don't read about him. But this is the one thing that we do know about Andrew's sowing ministry. John 1:41. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, this is Peter, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ.
Amen.
What did Andrew do? He wasn't Peter, right? He wasn't Paul. But when he found the Christ, he went and found those whom he loved, his brother Peter. He didn't know what God was preparing to do. Andrew didn't know that one day that Peter would preach the Pentecost. But he found Christ. And he went to those who he couldn't go to and said, hey, I found the Messiah.
Amen.
That's a sowing ministry. Could we not be an Andrew? He just went, and their unbelief, and many believed not, and their unbelief drove them to anger, which we know that caused many Christians to be put to death, even the apostles. But this should not be surprising to us. Why? Because this is the nature of someone who is lost. Lost, meaning they are an enemy of God. One who is unable to find his way out. Lost, meaning one who is astray from God. One who is on the way to everlasting destruction. Lost, one who is spiritually bankrupt. One brother said in regards to how lost they are, is that how heartbreaking it is to see a child lost from his parents. To see a child weeping because they do not know which way to go. They do not know where their parents are. And when we see that, does it not break our hearts? We weep with them. We break for them. We search for them. We pray for them. We will call help for them because they are lost. So is the condition of this world. They are lost. They are enemies with God. Their sinful state should cause us to weep for them. Their sinful state should cause us to break for them. Yeah. We should search the scriptures with them. We should search the scriptures for them and find a way to reach them with the gospel. Many of us could say that, you know, we've been out on visitations. I know myself, I have. That somebody's asked a question that we may not have had the answer to right away. We shouldn't walk away and leave it there. We should go back, search the scriptures, find a way, send a letter, go back. Don't leave them stumped.
Amen.
This is a part of sowing. And pray that God will save this lost and dying world.
Amen.
The reaping came in the book of Acts and upon the early church. And by the time we get to the book of Acts, thousands upon thousands of souls were saved and churches were started all across Asia Minor.
Amen.
The reaping came. But the seeds were planted by some and they were watered by others. When the world responded violently, the apostles did not respond violently. They simply rejoiced that they were able to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. They accepted the punishment and glorified Christ even in the midst of it. Some seeds were watered by the blood of the saints. Oh, that we would see this. This is what I'm just trying to drive home tonight. That we would see that the reaping that we see in the early church was the result of two things. The disciples and the apostles of the early church were sowing seeds. They were sowing the gospel, believing that God would give the increase.
Amen.
And the reason that we see also the reaping that we see in the New Testament is because the Holy Ghost was moving upon the people whom they sowed the seeds to. They are hand-in-hand doctrines, sowing and reaping.
Amen.
If you do not sow, you will not reap. You may be able to reap with others, but no one else will reap for you.
That's right.
no one else. We may rejoice when we see someone come into the church, like, praise the Lord that they're saved. And we can rejoice in that. Amen. But that will not be on your account. No matter what we have done today, we are showing. And tomorrow when we wake up and we go out into the community, we will be sowing. It will either be sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit. A Sunday school teacher one time, when she was teaching her class, she was teaching the class about Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus. And the teacher asked the kid, she said, which one would you rather be, the rich man or Lazarus? A young boy raised his hand and said, I want to be the rich man while I live and Lazarus when I die. You know, and I think oftentimes this is how our mind works sometimes. But know this, these worlds will never walk hand in hand in this manner. There's no Lazarus in the end and the rich man while I'm here. We will one day have the rewards from the Lord in heaven for our labors here. And there are Christians here today who have the finest of lives now, but will be bankrupt in heaven. Right. Meaning there'll be no rewards for them. And there are Christians here on this earth who, according to this world, are bankrupt and have nothing, but will have the rewards in heaven for the labor that they have invested. Amen. Now. It's sad to say that one day many Christians may get to heaven never sowing, never experiencing what it feels like to reap a harvest when God works and souls are saved. Never caring for one another, who will receive nothing in the end. So, the reaping of missions. The reaping of missions. The question is, do we want the reaping of missions? Do we want to see the reaping of the gospel that the early church seen? It can be summarized up in one sentence. Have you been sowing? Right. Have you been sowing? Expecting a bumper crop and never planting seed does not work. It doesn't work. This is not how the reaping of the early church happened. The Lord himself said that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few, a truth that has not changed today. Reaping comes when sowing is done. Sowing is done when we have the hearts of the Lord. If we focus on our hearts and ask ourselves why we are not sowing the seed, why we are not preaching the gospel, if we get that right with the Lord, if we say, God, work in my heart and make me a soul winner for you. God, work in my heart. If you get your heart, if I get my heart right with God, you will not have to worry about what your lips, hands, and feet do, because they will go to work. But the heart has to be right.
All right.
Let's pray. Mm. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that we experience today. And having members come and rejoicing that you saved Brian. Lord, I hope this is just the beginning of a great work that you're going to start here at the Wind Place Baptist Church. Give us a heart for souls, Lord. Break our heart for soul winning. Help us to plant the seed of the gospel. That's all we have to do. We don't have to draw them across. We just have to plant the seed and trust that you will work.